Can you feel it? The hum in the air tonight as all our preparations come to an end and the celebration begins. I don't think it's just us either. I think all of creation is humming tonight when the veil between heaven and earth is so thin. It's as thin as if you could see through it tonight. Tonight is the night we measure all time against. Everything that happened yesterday is before Christ, and everything that happens tomorrow is after Christ. Tonight, we are living in the eternal now of God's coming among us. His name is Emmanuel, the God who is with us, who is made out of the same stuff as we are, and who is made out of the same stuff as God is, and who will not let either of us go. But that's not the only thing, because most of us are waiting for more than one thing, and they're not all the same. For instance, there are some here who are waiting to find out what's inside that large flat box propped against the wall next to the Christmas tree. And someone is looking forward to waking up in a house in which all the beds are full once again with the children and the grandchildren who've come home for the holidays. Some of you have a new baby at your house, which means you're waiting for the first Christmas morning when you wake up in your own nativity scene. I know others of you for whom this is a hard time of year. There is that empty chair to deal with, that stocking that stays folded in the box, all the rituals that were designed for two or more are now up to you alone, and it's like the sound of one hand clapping. Christmas is the season when you wait to see if the hurt has let up any since this time last year, and you want it to so you can get on with your life, and you don't want it to because that might mean you've stopped caring. Meanwhile, the memories rise up to meet you, swamping you with a despondency so sweet you can almost taste it at the back of your throat. For good or ill, every Christmas Eve functions like a kind of time machine for us, taking us back to every other Christmas Eve we have spent on this earth. For some, it's a reminder of the way life used to be back when we were on the front row of the holiday show and not the stage managers of it. Christmas is the smell of pine boughs and oranges stuck with cloves and the taste of roast beef and chocolate pudding. It's mom and dad sitting around in their bathrobes sipping coffee while the kids chase the new puppy through the sea of wrapping paper. For others, this night is a reminder of the way life should have been but never was. Those who have looked all through their lives at other people's windows and scenes of domestic bliss, but always as peeping toms and never as insiders. Everyone is supposed to go home for Christmas, right? But where is that exactly? Some of us know, and some of us are still trying to find out. But tonight, the answer is right here. This is our home tonight, and we're all inside. This is our Bethlehem, where we have hauled all of our hopes and fears and laid them down in front of a manger. No wonder the place is humming. It's full of all of our Christmas dreams and memories and all of our best wishes for ourselves and others, including our ideas about what our lives should be like once God has been born into them. If you're not sure what your ideas are, you can generally find some clues by looking at the Christmas cards you might have received this year or the ones you might have sent. Of course, if you didn't send any, what did the cards you get look like? What kinds of images are on them? What kind of words? Unless your friends have really strange tastes, chances are that peace and joy and love are in a lot of those cards, along with pictures that portray those words. And if you're lucky, you actually got to walk around in some of those pictures this season. You got to experience some peace, some joy, some love. Maybe enough to wonder why you do not walk around them more often. However different our Christmases have been, one longing most people have in common this time of year is the longing for a calmer, purer, more centered life. And the way most people talk about that life usually has a lot of upwards in it, as in rising above anxiety, keeping our head above water, lifting our eyes up unto the hills. As if belonging to God were a matter of being transported into God's presence for as long as possible, to take to a place like this one where everything is beautiful and focused and right, just like a Christmas card. But you know what? Even the pictures on our Christmas cards are only moments in time. If you could see past the edges, you'd probably see some familiar sights. I have one card of a cozy little cabin snuggled in the snowy woods with one set of tire tracks running up to the front door. But I bet the lot next door has been clear cut to make way for a subdivision, and that there's at least one rusted out refrigerator in the woods. I don't mean to ruin your Christmas. What I mean is, even the best pictures of Emmanuel and his family, the ones where the artist has really focused on the softness of the baby's skin or the warm bodies of the animals standing round him, heating the air with their breath, some of whom might even have licked him if Joseph and Mary had not been standing in the way, bending over him as if they were protecting God himself, even those pictures don't tell the whole story. You know it by heart, how the whole town was clogged with travelers, none of whom were there by choice. Caesar wanted them all counted and taxed and could have cared less where they slept. That was a personal problem. Still, you have to wonder what happened to Joseph's family. If Bethlehem was his hometown, why didn't his own people take him in? I don't know, but they didn't. Joseph and Mary got a stall instead of a room, which is not as bad as we sometimes make it out to be, but still not an ideal situation. With luck, they also got a pitchfork and a wheelbarrow. We know they got a feed trough because that is where they laid their treasure. And that is when the picture was taken, right then, while the star was still overhead and the angels were singing in the rafters. Of course, 20 minutes later, what? The hole in the heavens has closed up, and the only music to be heard comes from the bar across the street at the inn. One of the cows stepped on a chicken, and the resulting racket made the baby cry. As she leaned over to pick him up, Mary started crying too, and when Joseph tried to comfort her, she told him that she wanted her mother. If she just married a nice boy from Nazareth, she said she'd be back home where she belonged instead of competing with the sheep for a place to sleep. Then she said she was sorry, and Joseph said not to think another thing about it, and he meant it too. They both hurt all over, and there was nothing to eat, and it was cold as the dickens. But you know what? God was still there, right there in the middle of the picture. Peace was there, and joy, and love, not only in the best of times, but also and especially in the worst of times. Because during those times, there could be no mistake about who was responsible. It was God with us, not God up there somewhere who answers our prayers by lifting us up out of our lives, but the God who comes to us in the midst of our lives, however far from home we are, however less than ideal our circumstances, however much or little our lives reflect the Christmas cards we send. That is where God is born, just there, In any cradle we will offer him, on any pile of straw we can pull together with our hands. Any of us who have prayed to be transported into God's presence this Christmas will get our wish, only not perhaps in the way we thought. None of heaven's escalators are going up tonight. Everybody up there is coming down tonight, coming down right here, right into our own Bethlehem, bringing us the God who has decided to make his home in our arms. Amen.